Brilliant. We're going to do part two of what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus. And last week we looked at, before you know God, the different layers. And we had coach that represented the different layers of what life can be like. And then when you get to this point in terms of meeting Jesus and what the cross represents, how he takes all the layers off and then he robes you in a robe of righteousness. So we're going to concentrate really on this side of things. So what I'm going to do is just move this way a little bit so we have a little bit more room to concentrate on what we're going to look at. As you know, this is the last day, our 21st day of the 21 days of prayer, fasting and feasting. Has it been good?
Yes.
I know the guys that I've spoken to, both in Horsham, guys from Crawley, and some of you guys, it's been a really, just a tremendous time of detoxing from just stuff that goes on and how our lives can so easily get drawn into, sucked into, and we spend a lot of time doing stuff that on one level is okay, but on another level can really affect your, you know, just your life and relationship with God and take the edge off it. And God is jealous for you and me and in our relationship with him. So it's been an amazing time. So I brought a message this morning that's different to tonight in Horsham, that's really geared to, well, what's God been doing and what does that mean and where are we going? So if I can just do that in a nutshell for you, is that all right? In about 1 minute. And then I might link in some of it into what we're going to say over here, because I won't be able to do it in a minute. But, you know, I'm not that good at speaking or getting it all into 1 minute. But, you know, we've had 21 days of detoxing, giving God space. When you give God space, he fills it. And, you know, we can fill that space with lots of other stuff, but when we just fast from or push some other things aside, say, God, I want to focus on you, concentrate on you, then he comes and fills that, and he reveals himself to you in a fresh way. You might have had to deal with some stuff the last few weeks, and that's great, because what happens, it enables us to live more fully in who he is in our lives. It enables us to live free from stuff and more fully in him. Last few days, quite an emphasis on holiness. In some of the meetings I've been in, prayer meetings, other meetings, holiness is not a popular word for people. If we talk about, you know, the power of God, or if we talk about other things, you know, people go, yeah, great. But when we talk about holiness, people are like, oh my word, you know, that's a bit too much for me. Whereas God is holy. Holiness leads to freedom and joy. It's a dichotomy in your mind, because holiness you think is boring, somber, serious. God is holy. There's no darkness in him, no sin. He deals with all that stuff, as we saw last week, so that we can be free from it and live in peace, total well-being, freedom from that stuff, in relationship with God. There's a joy in that. There's a liberty in that. There's a freedom in being a holy person. But we can't be holy in our own right. It's God who is holy that comes to live in us. So he makes us acceptable to him. And then there's no limits, there's no barriers in our relationship with God. And when you live with God like that, you have peace, total well-being. It's like, oh, this is a great. I don't want to have anything in my life that could contaminate or whatever, you know, the stuff I've been going through. But I want to live clean, want to live at peace with God. And so, but where are we going with it? And that's what we're going to look at a little bit and link in this evening's message with that. So if you want to grab your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 61 if you want. I'm just going to read this verse, verse 10, in two different versions, NIV and the Message version. And then we're really going to focus on John chapter 15 and a few verses in there, okay? Let's have a look. What it says in the NIV, it says, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God. What's your soul? Your mind, your emotions, and your will. It's your being, who you are. Rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That all sounds very nice and spiritual, doesn't it? Let's read it in the Message Bible, that translation, see how it brings it out. It says, I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise from deep within my soul. That sounds pretty good. That's what it's like to know God, isn't it? That when you know God, it's like you just explode with the reality of who he is and how amazing he is, how wonderful he is, how good he is. And sometimes you just want to explode. And as it says here, explode with praise and thanksgiving from deep within your soul, within your being. And I love this. Listen to this. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation.
Right.
He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness. He's the best suit dresser outfitter on the planet. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jeweled tiara. So this robe of righteousness that we talked about last week, he takes off all the clothes and the coats and all the clothes that have caused destruction, death, all the stuff that we talked about last week. And instead, he gives us this robe of righteousness. So we have brought our robe of righteousness with us again this week in a lovely Sainsbury's bag. Loads of holes in it. But whichever way that this should be, something like that. Brilliant. I'm just looking for a volunteer. And Josh has just volunteered. Brilliant. I saw that check shirt, mate, and I thought that needs covering up. So, no, mate. So if you don't mind putting on our robe of righteousness, is that right? You might want to just hold it on a bit. Okay. Face your audience. Brilliant. Right. So the Bible says here that we've been clothed or suited up with or robed in this robe of righteousness. So what is it saying in Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27? It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So when you respond to God here, put your faith in Jesus, he takes all the rubbish off, and then he puts this new garment of salvation, this robe of righteousness, being right with God. You now have right standing with God. There's no fear of condemnation, of judgment, or anything now, because you've got this robe of salvation, robe of righteousness, right standing with God, okay? Then it says here, for all of you were baptized into Christ, you've clothed yourself with Christ, okay? What does it mean to be baptized into Christ? Do you want to know? Some of you know this already. But to be baptized into Christ means Jesus hung on a cross, took all the rubbish of our lives on himself, paid a price that we should pay, but he said to God the Father, I'll take the punishment so that they can go free. When we respond to what Jesus has done, he takes all the wrong clothes off, forgives us for all the stuff we've done, puts his robe of righteousness on us. So when Jesus was taken off the cross, he was buried, but it said that on the cross, the power of sin that controlled our lives, the power of sickness and death and hell, all of that was defeated by Jesus on the cross. And that it says that when he was buried, all that stuff was taken with him to the grave. And also, when you put your faith in Christ, your old life, all of that goes to the grave as well. That's dead and buried.
Come on.
And then Jesus says, the Bible says 3 days later, he rose from the dead because those things couldn't hold him down because he defeated them. They couldn't hold him down. So he came back to life because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. And so what happens when we give our lives to Jesus? We are baptized into, we are born into Christ. So we become one with him. We're not born of the net. We are born naturally, but we're born now of something supernatural, which is his life in our lives. That's what it means to be baptized into Christ. Now there is a water baptism that people have, isn't it? Where it symbolizes a dunking in the water, where the water represents a grave. That's your old life. You're leaving it behind and you come up a new person in Christ. That's what water baptism means. So you're baptized into Christ. You become one with him. So we're now clothed with Christ. But it says those who have been baptized, they clothe themselves with Christ. What does that mean? It means you made a choice and a decision to respond to God. And therefore, by responding to God, he forgave you. He put his life in you. But you chose to come into him and clothe yourself in him because you said, God, I want to know you. So you stepped into being clothed with Christ. His response is that he clothes you and wraps you in himself.
Very good.
The Bible then says you are hidden in Christ. So this robe of righteousness, you are hidden in that. So when people look at our lives, what we want them to see, they're going to see us as people, right? Because we're not just Twilight Zone people now who come to know Jesus. And we're weird, right? But what we want people to see is not the old person, but this new person The new person in us is Jesus. So we want people to see the nature and the character of Jesus coming through our lives. So in a situation, if he would be compassionate, if he was there, we'd be compassionate because he's not there, but we are. But he is there in us by his Holy Spirit. Is that all right? So therefore, people see compassion because it's his nature and character of compassion flowing through our lives. Maybe somebody needs some encouragement. So it's like we're encouraging, or it might be grace or mercy or whatever it is. But because we're clothed in him, the whole point is that we live as he is on the earth, as if he was here. All right. So let's have a look at some scriptures, John 15, and just read through a few verses and just see what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? Okay. What does it mean to know Jesus? What does it mean to be free from all the rubbish of these clothes and the coats this side? And what does it mean to be clothed in this robe of righteousness? What has he done that we can live in the good of? And what does that look like for us now after 21 days of prayer, fasting, feasting, and everything God's been doing? So let's have a look. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus is speaking here. Some of you might have a Bible with red letters in it. And that's when Jesus is actually speaking. They put them in red. So verse 5, it says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine is, he's the life giver, okay? And we're the branches that are connected to the life giver. If a man remains in me, if a man stays connected with me, and I in him. So if let's just say Josh is Jesus at the moment, and if he's Jesus and he's the vine, and I'm a branch and I'm connected into, grafted into this vine, then the life flow of the vine is going to flow into my life. So the Bible says here, if I remain connected into the vine and the vine's connected with me, there's going to be a life flow going on, right? And then it says, and if he remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So if I'm connected in here and Jesus is the life and there's things that he wants to do in me and through me, if I stay connected and remain in him and walk with him, then the flow of his life is going to affect my life, and the fruit of what Jesus wants to produce is going to be produced through my life as a branch that's connected to the vine. So my life's going to be fruitful. What does that mean? His nature and character is going to flow through mine. He might want to affect somebody else's life and he wants to do that through me. So therefore you see the fruit of that in somebody else's life. But then the Bible says, apart from me, you can't do anything. So if I disconnect myself from Jesus and say, actually, I don't want to live in the good of this robe of righteousness. And if I said, I want to try it in my own strength, I disconnect myself. Now there's no life flow because I'm not connected to the vine. I'm not remaining and living in the good of who Jesus is. I've said, well, I know I'm free from that lot, but I want to try and do this on my own. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Then the next verse, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. It doesn't sound very good to me, that one. I don't particularly want to go there. So I want to stay connected because I don't want to be thrown into some fire because I'm connected into God. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So we're talking about being a friend of Jesus. Okay, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Interesting verses. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So now Jesus is letting us know, what does it mean to remain in him? How do you do that? You remain in me by remaining in my word. So it's my word that determines your life. It's my word that gives you the instruction, direction. It's my word that you live according to. And if you remain in my word, it says here, and you remain in me, ask whatever you wish. So if we're remaining in this robe of righteousness, if we're remaining in him and in his word, while we're in Christ, it says, ask whatever you wish and it will be yours. Now, if you're remaining in him and in his word, what are the kind of things you're going to ask for? Right, the things, what his word says. Because if we're remaining in him and we're remaining in his word, and his word is the thing that is we're living to, he then says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If we're in him, we're going to be asking the things that are of him. And then the Bible says here, and it will be given you. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, two verses, that says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, the Bible then says that we know then that he hears us. And when we know that he hears us, then we have everything that we ask. So the Bible's saying, if you want to know what God wants, then find out, what does the Bible say that he wants? If you pray what God wants, then you know, wow, you're going to see it, it's going to happen. When you're remaining in him, what do you want? You want the things of God. Because as you abide in him and him in you, what's happening in your life is, God, I want what you want. How many of you know from your experience and what God's done in your life, God generally knows best. Doesn't he? And because he knows best, then sometimes you might have a struggle. Am I going to submit to this, submit to that? But actually, you know, God's never wrong. If he was wrong, he wouldn't be God. And if we were right and he was wrong, then maybe you'd be God instead of him. Maybe that's why he's God, because he's never wrong. And what he's saying is, if you remain in me and I in you, then you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you by my Father in heaven. He'll do it. But God knows that whatever his will is, it's good for us. Because God's plan and purpose for our lives is for our good. It's to bless us. It's to prosper us. It's to live an abundant life in him, one that's at peace with him, one that is free from all this stuff, yes. One that is full of joy, amen. Full of hope, full of, you know, purpose and future, and not afraid of it and what's it going to be like, but actually loving life, living life and loving it, because Jesus came to give life and life in all its fullness. So the beginning of being a friend of Jesus, as we're going to discover, because it particularly talks about friends in this verse, in these verses in a minute. To be a friend of Jesus, firstly, means to remain in him, to abide in him, to stay connected to him, to remain in his word. Let his word kind of remain in you, and that we live according to his word. God, I thank you that you've given me the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. What does the mind of Christ mean? Well, it's like, it's not just, well, how does Jesus think? Well, Jesus thought according to the word. So it's like, well, I don't want to be thinking my own stuff and my own preferences, my own philosophy of life and my own opinions. God, I want to know what your heart is, what your thoughts are, and so that I think in line with you, because I want to walk with you. So to remain in him and him in us, to remain in his word, isn't just to stand still, okay, just come over this way a minute, mate, face that way. It's actually a walk with God that we're talking about. So remaining in him is a walk with God. What does the Bible say? It says his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So if we walk in God's word, we're going to walk in the light of who he is, because his word lights up the way forward. And so when you walk with God and you take steps, it's like you're taking steps in the light. You're walking according to his word, and the way opens up before you because you're walking in the light of who he is. We're not walking in darkness over here where we're trying to find our own way, make our own way, do it our own way. Suddenly here, when you're free from all this stuff, he robes you in this robe of righteousness, gives you his word to live by. His word is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. Suddenly everything comes alive and colorful instead of black and white over there. Things come alive. You realize this is what life's all about. This is why I'm here on planet Earth. Is to know God. Brilliant. Suddenly everything makes sense when that happens. And you have the word to live by and you walk with God in that way. Now let's look at what else does it say. Number 8, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Interesting. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. So what does it mean then to be a disciple? To be a disciple of Jesus is somebody that's robed in this robe of righteousness, somebody who's remaining in him and him in that person, somebody who's remaining in his word. So to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, is to be somebody who's living according to the word of God. Not living according to their own philosophies, their own opinions, their own agenda, but they're living according to God's word. And they're saying, God, I want to walk with you and live according to your word. That's a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It's not attaching God onto your life in the way that suits you and saying, God, I'd like you to just do this bit, but I'll look after that bit. It's saying, no, God, I want to be totally hidden in you. I want to be totally clothed with you. I want to be completely surrounded by you. So that, if we can put it this way, I'm totally lost in who you are. But yet at the same time, you still got free will to choose. But what you're saying is, God, I want to submit my will to yours because I know ultimately you know best. And if I walk with you, then I'm going to walk in the goodness of who you are.
Right. Very good.
And then other people's lives are going to be affected in a good way around me. Because whatever's going in you, going on in you, will come out of your life.
That's it.
In the way you talk, in your attitudes, the way you handle situations, people, problems, pressure, all of that. And when you're hidden in Christ and he's in you, what flows out of your life? Christ. His nature, his character, right? And if we remain in this, and his words remain in us, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So the fruit is not us trying to produce something. The fruit comes from us simply remaining, abiding in him. So what's he been doing the last few weeks? We've been praying and fasting and everything. We've been making space for God to fill. We've been saying, God, all the bits of, and the stuff that's tried to reattach itself or just take the edge off my life with you and how that's affected me with other people, just want to get rid of all that stuff and actually live more, much more fully in who I am and in you and just let you cleanse me, sort me, free me in a fresh way or whatever so that I continue to walk with you in a way that you want me to. Now let's have a look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now Jesus is on his way somewhere in this little chat that he's giving the disciples. He's on his way to verse 14, which we'll get to in a minute, right? But verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So what's Jesus been doing? He's been showing the people what it's like to know God. He's been demonstrating for them in the way he's been living what it's like to know God as Father. Most of them in that culture then, as we know, their perception of God was that he was religious. He was just a bunch of laws. And the Pharisees of the day, the religious leaders of the day, were much more intent on doing the right thing than having the right heart. Just do the right stuff and then you'll be acceptable to God. God's not after us just doing the right thing. What he's after is relationship. And from relationship flows the right stuff. Not just a slavish, lawish, do this, do that, because that's not the kind of God that he is, and we'll discover in a moment. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So it's like, how I've loved you guys, that's how the Father has loved me. Now I want you to remain in that love, abide in that love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now here's a really interesting verse, right? It says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Now that sounds a bit iffy. Sounds a little bit strong actually, doesn't it? If you can look at this in two ways. You can either look at it in this way, first of all, that says, unless you do as you're told, you're not remaining in my love. So here's an order. If you don't keep it, you're not remaining in my love. Or you can see it in this way, which is how I believe that Jesus is speaking it. And when you look at the word command there, the word command in the Greek is not an order, it's will. It doesn't mean this is an order, it means this is my will. So it's a different thing. It's not do as you're told, do as you're told. But what it means here, if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. What have we just been talking about? What's Jesus been talking about? If you remain in me and I in you, if you remain in my word and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will happen. You've been talking about walking with me in my word. So if we're living in him and living according to his word, what are we doing? We're living in him, walking with him. If we're living out his word, we will be living out his commands. Because his commands are his will. They're not just a bunch of orders that he gives for us to slavishly obey. Because he says to them at the end of this chapter, I no longer call you slaves or no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Because a master doesn't let his slaves or servants know what he's doing, but a friend opens up his whole life. And what does Jesus say? I've loved you in the same way the Father's loved me. Everything that I know the Father, however I know him, I've shown that to you. I've taught you him, and I've showed you him, and I've taught you everything. I've let you on the inside of my life, my relationship. I've not withheld anything from you. And that's the amazing thing. And because Jesus calls these guys friends, he said, I've shown you everything of who I am so that you can know God in the way that I do. And so when it talks about if you obey my commands, it's if you live out my will, you will remain in my love. Why? Because when you're clothed with Christ, you're in his love. You're clothed in his love. And you're in him and he's in you. So if we're walking out in obedience in our lives, we can only walk in obedience if we're remaining in him. As we remain in him, we're living out his commands. If we're living out his commands, then we're remaining in his love. If we're remaining in his love, we're living out his commands. It's all one and the same thing. So if we live clothed with who he is, we're going to live in obedience. It's not suddenly, I've got to choose to be obedient today. I better do as I'm told. No, no, no. It's wrong concept. It's relationship with God. Say, Father, I want to abide in you, remain in you. I want to walk with you. I want to live according to your word today. I want to live in the truth of who you are. I want to please you, serve you. Not because I'm supposed to, but because I'm a friend with yours and I'm clothed in you. I want to. I want to serve you, honor you, please you, bless you today. But there's freedom and liberty in that, not a control in that. See, obedience to the world is control. Obedience or a command is like, oh, you just want to control me. You just want to tell me what to do. That's completely different in the Bible. Obedience in the Bible leads to freedom. Commands in the Bible are to do his will. And his will is life. His will is healing. His will is freedom. His will is peace with God, total well-being. It's amazing how God is. And he says, stay robed in me, clothed in me, hidden in me, and you'll remain in my love. Then what does it say? Greater love has no one than this. I've jumped a couple of verses. Verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy, this is why the Bible is so opposite. Commands in the world are do as you're told. Commands in the Bible are do my will. And he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So actually to do the commands of God, if we put it that way, a joy, freedom, liberty, it's a joy. Why? Because when you're living in the things of God, there's a total well-being, there's a peace. It's like, this is brilliant. Why don't I do this more often? And that's why we have times like the last 21 days, because God said, I want to free you from yourself. And just being a bit daft, you know, because you've let yourself get into some stuff that you don't need to. So I want to just clean you up, sort you out, and get you back on track in the way that I really want you to, so you can live in the fullness of who I am and help other people to come into that as well. Then verse 12, in the context of all this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. What's the essence of love? It's to give, isn't it? Then verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Wow. So what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? To do his commands. But we've just realized his commands are not orders, do as you're told. His commands are living in his will. It's remaining and abiding in him. It's remaining in his word and his word in us. It's remaining in his love, in his love in us. How do we do that? Stay clothed in Christ by being like that. What does that mean? We live out his commands. We're walking in his ways. What does that mean? You're walking as a friend of Jesus. So it's not like there's all of that and then how do you become a friend of Jesus? That is living as a friend of Jesus. Great, isn't it? So Jesus described, all this stuff, and then he says, now you're my friends if you live in this way. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So he's saying, I've not withheld anything. I've shown you who the Father is, what he's like, and I've revealed him to you because you're my friends. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So this is a place of fruitfulness, to walk clothed in him. remaining in him, abiding in him. This is the place of fruitfulness. This is where fruit's just going to happen in our lives and through our lives. Sorry, mate, you can come back over here if you want. And then he says, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow. So if we're living in this way, we're going to see answers to prayer.
Yes.
We don't have to twist God's arm. Because it's not us trying to get God to do stuff we want him to do. Because the Bible says, if we ask according to his will, then we know that he hears us, and then we have what we ask of him. And so we're not trying to get God's arm up behind his back saying, come on, God, do something, do that, do this. And he said, well, what does the word say? It's like, well, you want to do this, you want to do that. Great, pray that then, and you'll see it happen. This is my command, verse 17. He says, love each other. All flows out of relationship, doesn't it? John 14, verse 21 says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Wow, it's pretty strong. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. What does that mean? Again, it's not orders. Those who do my orders, the Father loves. It says, those who do my will. So what is it talking about? If you're living in me, according to my word, according to my will, you're abiding in me, remaining in me, what does it say? Me and my Father, we're going to make our home. I don't know about you, I don't just want God to visit me. Oh, God, that was a nice feeling. Oh, great, thanks. He's like, no, I want to live and remain and abide in you. I want to make my home. I want to reside in you. I want to walk with you. So God's not just saying, walk with me. He's saying, I want to walk with you. Let's live this thing out together.
Right.
And because I know what's best for you, as you surrender and submit your life to me, you're going to walk in the goodness of who I am. You're going to have the wisdom when you need it. You'll have compassion when you need it. Whatever you need on the way. Because if you're not just walking with me, but I'm also walking with you. Why? Because you want to walk with me, I'm going to walk with you. But God knows what's in our hearts. He knows, well, do I just want to be blessed by God and consume him in that way, use him as a consumer thing? Or actually, do I really want to know him and walk with him and him with me? So four things just to finish. What we've been looking at. What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? Somebody who lives in the truth of his word. We remain in his word and his word in us. So we want to be people. Friends of Jesus live according to the truth. What else does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? Friend of Jesus is people that love one another in the same way that he loved us. Third thing, being a friend of Jesus means to bear fruit, but fruit that's going to last. How does that happen? By remaining and abiding in him. God's not asking us to try and be fruitful, to try and see stuff happen. He's saying, no, if you stay connected into me, walk with me, be in relationship with me, spend time with me, know me, you know, give your life to me, surrender to me, walk with me, your life's going to be fruitful. And that will look different for different people in the room, okay? And then the last one is, friends of Jesus see prayers answered. They get a download from God. Why? Because we're robed in who he is. We're hidden in who he is. We're remaining in who he is. Remaining in his word. Listening to his voice. Walking with him. He's walking with us. Man, stuff's surely got to happen around our lives when it's like that. Isn't it? Because right at the beginning of what we just read was that if we remain in him and he in us, then we bear much fruit. If we disconnect, we're not going to bear fruit because the life flow's not there. See, before you know God, you're totally dependent on yourself. Sometimes it can go all right, but a lot of the time we mess it up. And when you talk to most people, there's stuff going on in their lives that they don't want to be there. Regrets, all of that kind of stuff we talked about last week. Here, there aren't any.
Come on.
Because you've been forgiven. God's wiped the slate clean, give me a totally new start. And you realise, actually, I wasn't meant to try and live this life on earth in my own power, my own steam. I was meant, created, to have a relationship with the Creator. So I want to be clothed in that Creator. I want to be hidden in that Creator. I want to be in relationship with the Creator. Because if He's created the heavens and the earth, and He created us and knew how we should be formed and how life should be lived to the max and in the best way, then I want to know the guy with the handbook of life who knows how it should be lived to the full. I want to remain in Him, not try and even at this point, you know, try and live it out in my own effort. So what is a true friend? You could say this about friends with one another. We could say this is what, how Jesus is with a friend to us, as a friend to us. Through highs and lows, through thick and thin, through success and challenge. A friend walks closer than a brother and loves at all times. He can be trusted and depended on without any fear of reprisal or judgment. Great description of a friend, isn't it? And that's the kind of friends of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of friend I want to be. But the great thing is, you don't have to try and be a friend of Jesus. All you need to do is say, Jesus, you're the vine, I'm a branch. This is the example Jesus used. You're the vine, I'm the branch. You are life. And I want your life to flow through mine. So I want to stay connected with you. And the you say, Jesus, if I remain in you, clothed in you, then you remain in me. If I remain in your word and live according to your word remains in me. You say, if I remain in you, then your love abides in me. Then you say, from the flow of all of that, love one another in the same way as I loved you. So if I'm remaining you in that way, I'm not trying to love out of my own love. There's that flow of your life and love that's flowing through me. And then you say, if I do all this, I'm going to bear much fruit. And that fruit is for the Father's glory. And then you say, anything I ask, I'm going to get my prayers on. I'm going to get that stuff answered. So it's a pretty good deal here. I don't have to try and be a friend. All I need to do is stick with you, Jesus, and let you lead my life and be Lord of my life. And then stuff's going to happen in my life and around my life and through my life. I think it's a pretty good deal. Don't you?
Yeah.
So let's stand together, and we're just going to pray for a few minutes. And firstly, I think we can just thank God that He's clothed us in this robe of righteousness, as the Bible talks about, of being right standing with God. So maybe just close your eyes for a few moments and just thank Him. You can verbalize that. You don't just have to think it in your head. Maybe you want to verbalize it. Jesus, I thank you that you really have set me free from all the clothes of the past that have been taken off. And now I have this robe of righteousness, your robe of righteousness. I have your life that I'm wrapped in. And it's your life that I'm hidden in. Maybe some of you tonight here, you haven't started a relationship with Jesus yet, and you're like, well, okay, this is interesting what you're talking about and everything. Maybe there's a tug in your heart, maybe there's stuff going off on the inside of you tonight. It's like, wow, there's a big contrast between last week and taking all the layers off, and then this week, all these new, this robe. Maybe this is the first time you've heard anything, your first time you've been here, and you're like, wow, I didn't know God was like that. I thought God was a bit of a heavy number. Didn't realize He was like a father. You could have a relationship with Him. You could have this kind of conversation with Him like this bloke's been talking about at the front.
Come on. Yes.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're just on a bit of a journey, sort of. I'm interested, I'm looking. Maybe tell me more. Maybe you're at the point where you're saying, God, I want to surrender my life to you. Come on. I don't want to try and live it in my own under my own power any longer. I realize that you're the creator and you know the best way for life to be lived.
Yes.
And that's relationship with you and everything that flows from yes. that. Many of us, we've been going through these 21 days of prayer, fasting and feasting, and God's been working in all of our lives. We don't want to go back to where we were. We want to continue to move forward in the things of God. So it's not the end of 21 days. This is the launch. Into one of the things God said, He wants to change the lifestyle of the church. And I know in our own home, things are different now than they were 3 weeks ago. And we're not going back to the way we were either. We've had chats in our family about how we want to move forward and, you know, how we want to keep in together as a family this place that God is of Him in our lives. You have to have conversations like that. Otherwise, before you know where you are, you're just back where you were. But God always leads us onwards, forwards. And I want to go with God, don't you? And what we've been talking about tonight is this is how we go forward. This is how we live in the good, in the fullness of who He is. Firstly, maybe just talk to Him. Father, I choose to remain and abide in You. I want to live dependent on You, Father. I don't want to live under my own steam, my own power. Apart from You, I can't do anything that's of any value. So I choose to remain connected into You. I want to stay remaining in Your Word, abiding on Your Word, so that Your Word abides in me. So I think according to Your Word. The desires in my life and my heart are what is in Your Word. Because Your Word is who You are. It's Your will. It's who You are written down in a book in black and white. How You are. And Father, I want to live connected with You, walking with You. I want to live hidden in You in this robe of righteousness. Thank You as I remain in Your love. That I can love others in the same way that You love me. Thank You. It's not me trying, but it's You in me. I can meet people with mercy, compassion, grace, forgiveness, love. I don't have to try and do it in my own effort. Thank You. It's allowing Your nature, character, it's Christ in me flowing through me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You call me to be a friend of Yours. Thank You. I don't have to try and do it under my own steam. But as I live robed in You, clothed in You, cloaked in You, and as I walk in Your ways, in Your Word, and the joy, the freedom, the liberty that that brings, I thank You then I'm walking and living as a friend of Jesus. And then I'm walking in Your will, in Your commands. And You say I'm fruitful. So Father, I thank You for a new season of fruitfulness that I'm right at the beginning of because of what You're doing in my life. I think there's going to be things happening increasingly in my family and friendships around me, work colleagues, all of that. Father, I thank You as I seek to reach out and serve and love and bless and give to others. There's a greater release of Your life. Just as we pray, just want to use the story where Jesus fed the 5,000. And Jesus has been preaching for a long time. And the disciples, obviously, they were aware that the people were hungry. So they were obviously trying to interrupt Jesus and let Him know, the guys are hungry, shouldn't we let them go? You've been preaching for hours. And when they came up to Him and said, Jesus, they're hungry, He said, well, guys, you feed them. I'm busy teaching and preaching. You feed them. You sort the buffet out, you know, and while I'm preaching. And then, so they went and found out, what have we got? And they came back, we got a couple of fish and a few loaves. So they came back to Jesus and said, Jesus, sorry to interrupt you again, but we've only got a couple of fish and a few loaves. What do we do? And what did He do? They gave them to Him and He said he blessed it. And he broke the bread. Imagine what Peter was like. I'm sure Peter was the one that all the disciples volunteered to go and interrupt Jesus while He was preaching. And imagine what Peter's face was like when Jesus took the few loaves, the little that He had for 15 to 20,000 people that were there in front of Him. 5,000 men and women and children. 15, 20,000 people probably. Imagine what Peter's face was like when Jesus said, Peter, come over. And he took one of the little loaves and he broke that in half or into two or three few pieces. And he said to Peter, right, here's your little bit. Go and feed that lot over there. I mean, Jesus has just taken a loaf and broken it. At least give me a loaf, Jesus. You know, at least I've got a bit more of a chance there. But don't break it down into four bits and give me a small bit, you know. But He gave him that. And then he went out and started feeding the people. What happened? He broke off a bit and he broke off a bit. And the next thing, it's going, it's going, it's going. And hang on a minute. This is going and going and going. And they had 12 basketfuls left over after feeding 15 to 20,000 people from a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, a few buns. It's interesting when you look at the story. What did they do? They put the fish and the loaves in Jesus' hands. It's like, I believe God said this morning and to us as a church, what's been happening the last 21 days? You've been putting your lives back in My hands.
That's it. Come on.
And What I've been doing is you've been spending time with me, worshiping, encountering me, and I've been meeting with you and speaking to you, and we've been just meeting together, us with God and us together with God. It's like God saying, you've been putting your lives back into my hands. And so what I'm now doing is I'm blessing you, blessing your life. But what I want you to do now, I want you now and go and give of what I've been doing in you. But it's interesting, the miracle or the multiplication of the food didn't happen from Jesus' hands, because he just broke up the fish and the buns, and he only gave the bits he had to the 12. It didn't multiply into their hands. So when he gave Peter the bread, it suddenly just, it's like a Tesco's van arrived on in Peter's lap. It was like this little bit was put in Peter's hand, and he was like, right, here we go. It was multiplied when Peter started to give it away, when John started to give it away, when Andrew started to give it away, when the different disciples started giving it away. That's when the miracle happened. And it's like God saying, from these 21 days, as you've been putting your lives in my hands, I'm blessing you, I'm speaking over your lives. Now I want you to go with what I'm doing and what I want you to do. But we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, dependent on the Holy Spirit. And as we do whatever God says, and that's when the miracles are going to happen. That's when the multiplication, that's when the release happens. God's saying the release is going to be through your lives. It's not just going to be from me, and you're going, all right, it's okay now because God's released it, so we've got it all. It's like, no, you're going to go by faith. But as you step out and be obedient to whatever I say to you, that's when you're going to see things.
Right. Yeah. Come on. That's it.
So he's blessing our lives. But the release is as we go. So let's not, if there's a move, if God's moving on the inside of you, as far as you're concerned, God's on the move.
That's it.
It's not, well, when are we going to see God move in a greater way? You know, I'm looking for it. It's like, no. That's why God's been working in us. Let's see a fresh move of God in our own lives and amongst us. And if something's happening in you, it will happen around you. And as far as you're concerned, God's on the move, because he's on the move in you. And therefore, God, I'm available.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for what you've been doing. I know you're going to continue to do it, because we're going to continue to press in there with you. We're not stopping now after 21 days. I don't know what's going to be organized down in Worthing. Maybe some other morning stuff. Maybe not every day, but certainly a different time, because we want to keep in there with God, meeting together, praying together, maybe Saturday mornings once or twice in the week. I know we're having a 6:30 prayer meeting at Roffey every morning. It's available for people just to come and pray, half an hour, just worship, prayer, meeting with God. Nobody's particularly going to lead it. It's just, let's get together and just keep pressing in there with God. Some other people, families in particular, what else can we do? The John's been brilliant every day in a family. So what I've said to guys is, look, February has 28 days. The Gospel of Matthew has 28 chapters. Maybe use a chapter a day from Matthew during February. Use that as a time as a family. Again, use a chapter a day. Keep praying together. If you've formed a new kind of habit as a family, after your meal, dinner time, you've had communion together, prayed together, you've read the word together, you might take 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long thing, especially if you've got little kids. Keep it light, keep it fun. You know, let's break bread together. This is what Jesus said to do. Let's pray for a friend at school. Jesus, we ask you to help us talk to them about you. Amen. This might be all it needs. Do you know what I mean? And read one little bit out of a chapter. You know, this story, and teach your kids some stuff. Or it doesn't have to be 45 minutes of deep intercession and your five-year-old's going, you know, or going bananas off the kitchen basement things or whatever. You know, or you know, it doesn't have to be long. But what it is saying, Jesus, we want you to be the centre of our homes and lives.
Very good.
And you'll find there's a grace on stuff in your family in a different way, because you're saying, God, we want you to be at the centre.
Yes.
Anyway, just turn to somebody next to you and say something. Just say to them, I said this morning to everybody, just say to the person next, let's go fishing together, because it was more relevant in the meeting that we had this morning down there, up there, wherever it is, Horsham. Just turn to somebody else, say, let's go fishing together then. Or let's be a friend of Jesus together, or whatever. Let's live this week like this, just totally robed in who Jesus is, eh? Just keep pressing in there with him, because there's more stuff, a lot more stuff that God obviously wants to do in our lives, through our lives. If any of you here, you do want to chat to any of us about anything, you want to pray about anything, then we're here. We're available. Chat, pray, agree with you for whatever God wants to do in your life tonight. Okay?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.